to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today as we talk laser surgery and corneal transplants. They become fairly common, or very common, I think. But it wasn't that long ago that this type of surgery was thought of maybe science fiction almost. Dr. Sarah Nell's with me in the studio today. She specializes in laser vision corrective surgeries and in diagnosing and treating disorders of the cornea, including cornea transplantation. Dr. Nell's is also an associate professor in the Department of Ophthalmology at the UW-Madison. So, what would you like to know about laser eye surgery? Have you had, like me, a corneal transplant? How'd it go? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Dr. Sarah Nell's, welcome.
Thank you, Larry.
Good to have you here. And I will say that Dr. Nell's performed a corneal transplant for me, oh my gosh, a few years ago now. But things have changed even in that corneal transplantation arena, have they not?
They have. We have better options now for patients. We've moved from doing what's called a full-thickness corneal transplant to using smaller amounts of tissue, such as you had, which greatly reduces the risk of rejection and makes the recovery from surgery much quicker.
Yeah. So for me, it's been great. I've been very pleased with it. Let's talk about laser surgery just in general here first. What has laser surgery done for patients with eye problems?
Well, in ophthalmology, we use lasers for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
One of the most common buzzwords that people associate with laser and eye surgery is LASIK surgery.
Yeah.
And that's an elective surgery done to treat nearsightedness or farsightedness and astigmatism. We also use lasers to perform cataract surgery. This is actually a recent new advance in the field of cataract surgery and does provide some great precision for patients that are undergoing cataract surgery.
So that those are pretty much what we do now? I mean, we don't...
Some traditional cataract surgery is still done, but there are some reasons why laser correction and laser surgery for cataract is preferred in certain situations, especially with multifocal or specialty lens implants.
And how, I'm sure the first thing that comes up, pops into anybody's head when you say, well, let's do some laser surgery is, how dangerous is it?
Using lasers is actually very safe. We get greater precision with a laser than we do with using a blade, and it enhances the safety for patients. In the past decade, a huge advance in LASIK surgery was using a laser to make the LASIK flap. We used to do that with a mechanized scalpel blade, and the laser correction made this a much safer feature, safer surgery for patients.
And long-term effects? Are there side effects that people have? I don't imagine there are too many anymore, but...
No, the results from surgery, if you're the appropriate candidate, are excellent.
And what are the... And in long-term, things pretty good long-term with it?
Well, with laser vision correction, we get long-term results with the correction until other aging changes happen in people's eyes, such as cataract formation. With cataract surgery laser correction, the results are good for a lifetime.
But what happens, let's see, how do I put this? Can you do it more than once?
You can. Occasionally, people need touch-ups or repeat surgeries. And yes, surgery can be repeated to improve results.
So, and that laser surgery has been going on more than 20 years, isn't it? Or at least 20 years.
It has. We use lasers for other reasons, and for a couple of decades have used those for treating things like diabetic retinopathy. The type of lasers that I use in my practice are more for the vision correction benefit.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Every one of our phone lines is filled. So, and we've got some Facebook questions, and so let's go to the phones, find out what's on people's minds. Paul in Kenosha, thank you for waiting. Hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. The question, excuse me, the question is, in LASIK or any of the other procedures, does it correct both the near vision and the far vision at the same time, or are they mutually exclusive?
Yeah, good question.
So most commonly, we're correcting the far vision. As people age, the reading vision starts to require the help of reading glasses or a bifocal or progressive lens. That still is one of the holy grails in ophthalmology to figure out a consistent or better solution for that. With LASIK eye surgery, we're usually correcting the distance vision, although about 30% of patients are a candidate for something called monovision, where the usually dominant eye is corrected for the distance vision, and the non-dominant eye is left a little bit nearsighted to allow for reading.
Does that work?
It is a fantastic option for the right person. We test that out usually with contact lenses to see how the person will adapt to that vision. Not everybody likes it.
Yeah.
But those that do, that is an option to correct the full range of vision.
Okay, there we go. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Sheena in Oconto, it's your turn. Hi, Sheena.
Tina, hi. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I am 49, and I was diagnosed with glaucoma as well as cataracts. I did a lot of research prior to making a decision on what I wanted to do, realizing there are side effects to the multifocal lenses. But because my nearsighted or my my reading, you know, vision was getting worse, I opted for a multifocal lens, which was the Symphony, along with the eye stent. I have had really a lot of difficulty with this, and I went into it realizing there are things, you know, the glare, and I was very realistic going into it. It is so bad. I actually went back and talked to the doctor about removing it because I feel like I can't see. It seems like that eye, I only have one eye done. I do need to get the other eye done, but right now I'm just not even going to go there.
Yeah.
Is there ever a situation where you can have a faulty lens? Because I realize that you get glare, but I see like huge concentric circles in my glare. The left part of my eye, or the outer part of my eye, is almost like somebody smeared like Vaseline on my eye, and it always just seems really weird. It's very difficult to explain. And he said, you know, he normally would want to take it out a lot earlier. I had this done 10 months ago.
Oh, you're breaking up, Ina. I'm sorry. Here she raises a whole bunch of things that to talk about. Thank you so much for calling. First, what is glaucoma?
Glaucoma is usually related to having an eye pressure that is too high, and then gradually over time you can lose your field of vision, most commonly the peripheral vision first, and then later potentially central vision. Certainly somebody with glaucoma, if there has been visual field loss, may not tolerate the potential benefits of a multifocal lens as well as an eye that's perfectly healthy.
Okay. And cataracts, how do they form, or why do they form? I've had them removed, so I kind of know about them, but...
Sure. It's a normal aging change in the eye. Not everybody needs to have them removed, but almost everyone, by the time they're in their 70s or 80s, has a early or mid or late form of a cataract.
Okay.
Some people tolerate the vision through the cataract, and other people require cataract surgery to see better.
Now, Pina talked about Symphony.
Correct. This is one of our newer lenses, just very recently available on the market. It is a lens that is designed to give distance vision as well as a range of intermediate vision, such as seeing a computer screen or the dashboard in your car. It does this through concentric rings, and it sounds like possibly related to visual field changes that Tina is not recognizing all the benefit of that lens. Lenses can be removed. Usually, we want to pick the lens that's going to work for the patient for the rest of their life.
Sure. And eye stents? She mentioned eye stents, and I thought, well, I know about stents that they put in hearts and stuff, but what about
a very tiny stent that is put in a part of the eye called the trabecular meshwork, and that is to allow fluid that's building up and creating a high pressure in the eye to drain more evenly, more easily, so that the pressure could be lower.
And now she talks about, wonders if there's, you know, could this be a faulty lens? And she describes Vaseline, you know, like,
there are a
feels
lot of,
like Vaseline in her eye.
Sure. There are a lot of potential reasons why there might be some difficulty with the lens. It could be something not related to the lens itself, but more structural in the eye. One of the more common things with a lens implant that's not working well after surgery is that the power of the lens is not adequately correcting the refractive error. And that's something that can be addressed with the patient's surgeon.
Okay.
Am I still on?
Yeah, you broke up for a while there.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, we lost your voice.
I apologize. Am I okay now?
Yeah, go ahead.
I did go to some other doctors because I wanted second opinions to make sure that it was placed properly. One did say there was a slight refractive error. And I don't even know what that really means or if it can be corrected. I guess my big question is, what is the danger of getting this removed right now? Or am I better off just waiting until something better comes along for my right eye? And by the way, the eye stent only lowered my eye pressure 1 point.
Oh, okay.
Well, the risk of removing a lens is, there is a risk present, but it most commonly goes very successfully. I suspect you would want to consider a different type of lens implant if your other eye ends up needing cataract surgery.
So you wouldn't hesitate to, well, after looking at a patient, you wouldn't hesitate to replace?
Only if we haven't ruled out absolutely everything else. Residual refractive error doesn't work well with the multifocal lenses, and patients do, on occasion, need to be touched up with laser vision correction, and that can help immensely in the right situation.
So she might be a candidate for something like
that. Yeah, sure. I had asked him, and yet he just, you know, I felt kind of a little angry because he said, you know, you're just younger than most people who have this done, and I just think you aren't, you just, you know, your expectations are different. And I'm like, no, I mean, I expected to have glare. I expected to have all these things that I read about, but I, it's really frustrating, you know?
It just hasn't come out as you were hoping.
So, do you go second? Another opinion? Yet another opinion? What do you do?
Opinions are always helpful. Not every cataract surgeon offers laser vision correction. And again, I think that's an important piece since someone told you that there's residual refractive error. And that being corrected could help your eye as well.
So, maybe talk to somebody else. Get a referral. That would, and it sounds like she is ready to do
it. Sounds like it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your call. Dr. Sarah Nell's our guest today. She specializes in laser vision correction surgeries, and she also specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of disorders of the cornea, including cornea transplantation. I'm Larry Mueller. Louisa DeVogel, our on-air producer today, here on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 11:45, we'll talk about what's happening in the night sky this time of year and take a look at gifts for the astronomy buff on your holiday list. Right now, we're visiting with Dr. Sarah Nell's about laser eye surgery, and certainly we have an open line. We can get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Suzanne in Hudson has a question for you, Dr. Nell's. Hi, Suzanne.
Hey, hi, Larry. Hi, Dr. Nels. My granddaughter was born with an extremely rare eye disorder called Peter's anomaly. It's cloudy corneas and then also glaucoma. She's had two cornea transplants, actually, and the second one is failing, and we're waiting now to potentially do a third. But my question is, what is the future for artificial cornea, and also we did save cord blood and stem cells And so I'm curious about what the future holds for stem cells and artificial corneas and...
Yeah, good questions.
And what we can anticipate for her. She's just 4 years old.
Yeah.
You know, as far as I...
Yep.
You know,
great.
I mean, she's got very limited vision.
Yeah.
Great question. Your four-year-old granddaughter is definitely in the age where the vision pathways in the brain are still developing. So any vision that can be recovered with corneal transplant surgery is important for her brain development and the potential for seeing later in life. Children have a tendency, unfortunately, to reject corneal transplants more vigorously than adults, and their prognosis and their cases are much more difficult to treat. Your question about artificial corneas is fascinating, and it's in great debate right now. We can use a keratoprosthesis, or artificial cornea, suspended in a human cornea and provide very clear vision. It can save adult eyes that have had repeat cornea transplant rejections and provide excellent vision. It is more risky in children, but is in an area of active research about whether this may be a benefit. We do have some patients with Peter's anomaly that have had the artificial corneas that have done very well, but the prognosis is still guarded.
So, in a situation...
And what about stem cell?
Oh, stem cells, yeah.
That is... definitely the future. Right now, we use stem cells to help reconstruct the surface of the cornea to take this windshield for the eye that should be perfectly clear. If it clouds up on the surface, we can do stem cell transplants to help with that. Cord blood is still an area of development, not yet used in any way for corneal surgery, but that there may be a future in that regard. For the cornea that is totally cloudy, the layers deeper than the surface, we don't have a stem cell option yet. There will be stem cell options in the near future for those people that lose the inner layer of the cornea called the endothelial cells, and that instead of transplanting donor tissue, we may be able to expand stem cells and help patients have a clear view through their cornea with their own stem cells.
Excellent. Suzanne, thank you so much. Good. Is this something that, okay, the grandchild or the child is 4 years old. Is this something, you know, all right, rejection is bad or is not as good among young people. Would you be in a waiting mode for something like this until the child is older? What kinds of options might be in existence?
It's a tricky situation because we try to intervene before the age of 8 because that is when the critical brain development is happening.
Okay. All right. There we go. Suzanne, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate your call. Gay in Madison, we're on to you now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I'm so excited because you, Dr. Nels, are going to be my consultant surgeon for cataract surgery that I need.
Oh, great.
So I'm going to see you in a couple of weeks. here's what I couldn't quite get clear from the ophthalmologist. And by the way, you come highly recommended by all the doctors I've talked to.
Thank you.
But I also have lost, besides distance vision, which was getting very blurry, I noticed, off and on, intermittently for the last 2 months. I have to drive back and forth to Chicago, and I noticed that I couldn't see the signs until I was right up on them, that brake lights really hurt my eyes and sparked and things like that. Anyhow, I went to the optometrist. She referred me to the ophthalmologist who referred me to you. Having diagnosed a lot of color vision as well, a loss of color vision in my right eye. My left eye is fine and has pretty good vision, though I do have a cataract there too. But the right one, she was not certain that the cataract surgery was going to take care of the color loss. Is that common?
That's a very interesting question. People do lose color perception as a cataract forms. That's because in many eyes, the cataract takes on a yellowish tint going to brown, and color vision can be quite muted. A lot of times, because this is a gradual development, people don't know that it's happening, and it's not until the cataract is removed that they recognize that world again that they remembered with really vibrant colors. Color vision loss can also be a sign of a problem with the function of the optic nerve, so that will need to be closely evaluated.
Yeah, there we go.
It can be associated with what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Some problems with how the optic nerve is functioning, and there are some additional things that can be looked for.
That can be treated as well, I hope?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But because it's not bothering me, I am a painter, and I do need to see color, but I think that's my left eye is taking over for it, because I would not have known until they tested me. But she is thinking that the cataract is pretty thick, and it's also, as you said, amber-colored.
It's very possibly the source of that color vision change, and certainly the difficulty with distance vision.
There you go.
All right. One more question. Do you ever do one eye at a time? I'm very nervous about surgery.
We always do surgery on one eye at a time, separated apart by 1 or 2 weeks. That way I can make sure that the first eye is recovering, doing well, before we work on the second eye.
Yeah.
And sometimes with cataracts, you have them in one eye and not in the other eye.
Exactly.
This is the case with me.
Exactly. And so sometimes there's many years in between cataract surgeries.
Yeah. Good luck, Gay. Thanks very much. You're in good hands. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Gary in Wausau, it's your turn. Hi, Gary.
Hello. I had retinal surgery. I had 3 retinal surgeries this summer, 3 detachments, 2 in the right eye and 1 in the left. And during my first retinal surgery, somehow I got a lesion, a very bad lesion on my eye, surface of my eye, that they believed went in, like, into the cornea. I'm not sure, but anyway, what they did is they ended up sewing up my eye to help it heal for over 30 some odd days. And in this time, I had the third retinal detachment. And when they took the that happened on my left eye, this was on my right that I had it sewn shut. And then when they took that they took the stitches out of my eye, they found out that my right eye was detached also again, and so I was blind at that point. But I haven't got my eyesight back, and they were so concerned with the cornea being, you know, somehow, I don't know if the laser caught it or what or something, but now I don't know. They just said, well, you're not going to get your vision back. And so I am going for a second opinion, but that's not until December. Do you have any ideas on that?
I'm sorry about all these difficult problems. Retinal detachment can be a very severe cause of a loss of vision. The eye being sewn shut, what I'm assuming you mean is that your eyelids were temporarily closed, which can be a way to coach healing or help healing on the surface of the eye. Yes. Sometimes with multiple surgeries, the nerve sensation to the front of the eye can diminish, and we lose growth factors then that help to keep the surface healthy. So closing the lids provides a protective barrier, and we usually do try that just for a month or so to see if that helps resurface the cornea. There are other things that can be done to help that problem, but unfortunately the retinal detachment sounds like it may be the major source of your vision loss.
So would he, here's another instance where you might say, at least go to another, get another opinion?
I think that's always in your tool bag. It's important to get opinions, because different people approach problems in a different way, and there may be some research areas that are not recognized by certain practitioners. So I think that's also just a better way for you to feel confident about what the care you've received, and that you have exhausted or pursued all potential options for your care.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Gary, good luck, and thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Steve in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Yes, hello. My name's Steve, and yeah, it's sort of a coincidence. I actually had an eye problem about 40 years ago. I had cancer in my eye, melanoma, and Dr. Mueller actually took it out at Freudert. And but anyway, I also had the cataract surgery about 15 years down the line. And right now, I'm having eye pressure problems where I'm doing eye pressure drops. And he says he's probably going to come up with some kind of laser treatment to bring the pressure down. I was just wondering how difficult of an operation is that?
Great question. So we use a laser called SLT, or Selective Laser Trabeculoplasty, which is a mouthful.
Yeah.
But that is a laser that very gently kind of cleans out the drain in the eye. It is a surgery that's done in the office. It can help to reduce the pressure and sometimes reduce the need for those drops that you're using. And there's not a long recovery period. It's a comfortable procedure. It takes under 10 minutes to do, and if it works, can be very effective for the pressure.
Okay. Can I also ask one other question?
Sure.
Well, it's not really a question, but I was also, I had the clouds shot out of my eye because I had clouds in my eye, almost like that lady was talking about a grease in her eye. Mm-hmm. But I had those clouds shot out. That's probably the same thing, right?
Are you talking about vitreous floaters?
Yeah, that could be.
Okay. Well, so sometimes after cataract surgery, some scar tissue forms behind the lens that's been placed in your eye, the lens implant. And that's very treatable with a laser called a YAG laser that breaks up that scar tissue and creates a clear pathway through the lens. Clouds can also be caused by floaters in the vitreous. That's a very common aging change in the eye. It's a little more controversial to use lasers for that condition.
Okay. So that's not...
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Tim from Stevens Point wanted to know the cost for LASIK surgery. Is this something that insurance companies may cover someday?
So... Thanks, Tim. The cost of LASIK surgery ranges in most practices from around $1,700 to $2,300 per eye. The cost is not currently covered by insurance companies because it's considered an elective procedure. However, many people use flex dollars if you have that possibility, and that money can be put as a tax savings plan towards your laser correction.
All right. Dr. Sarah Nels, our guest from the University of Wisconsin, UW Health, and great to have her along. And we'll move on to Winelda, I believe I'm pronouncing that name right, from Glenwood. Hi.
Hi. Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
My eye problems is what the mother's passed on to her sons normally. That's what Dr. Lieber said in 1851. But I'm a lady, of course, so, and I also ended up with it. And my vision started going about when I was about 14 years old, and I'm 84 now. And so last night I was listening to my tape player, and the Wisconsin, the magazine.
Yes.
Was on, there was an article in there that it said that they have found something now that would help. They mentioned the name Lieber's. And so I was kind of all excited, you know, wondering whether maybe someday I'll be able to see again.
Well, let's have Dr. Nels comment on that.
Very interesting. You have a very rare condition in your eyes. There's not a laser technique that would help improve your vision. However, there has been some amazing, again, related to stem cell or genetic research being done in this field. And there are some new advances. That would be something to have an evaluation with a neuro-ophthalmologist to see if there is anything that might be able to be done for you.
So a neuro-ophthalmologist.
Correct.
I had been down to Rochester Clinic when my husband was there, and they found out that I couldn't see. So they had me go through that clinic. And then he had said, well, he hadn't seen it that bad before. And I said, well, that's because they couldn't help anybody with this situation, you know. And so I was wondering, where would I go? Would I probably go down? Would Rochester Mayo Clinic have any?
All right. Let's, Dr. Nels, what do you think?
Mayo Clinic may be a place to start, but the University of Wisconsin could also be considered.
Yeah, you might, because you guys do that.
And we can certainly collaborate with other places that are working on this research.
So that would be worth looking into. How would she, could she go online? Well, she, you know, have somebody give her some help and try and work out an appointment, or what? How do you do it?
Exactly. Explaining the condition that you've had during your life and calling the clinic would be a very viable way to start.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have the clinic number off the top of my head, but...
It's 608-263-7171.
263-7171. 608-263-7171. 7171, Winelda. And I hope you'll follow up on that. And, you know, what the heck? What have you got to lose? You might as well take a look and see what can be done. And again, that number, 608-263-7171. So those are the numbers. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Wayne in Marshfield... We'll give you a chance now. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Larry and Dr. Sarah. I had retinitis pigmentosa beginning as a teenager, and I've been legally blind for close to 60 years and haven't had any useful sight for at least 50. I worked for the state in the rehabilitation teaching program. I retired in 96, so... there's been some changes at that point. Up to that point, my program was under the Division of Vocational Rehab. But in 96, there was a big reorganization, and I think it went to the Department of Family Services. And I worked with people who were losing their sight, visiting them in their homes and teaching them ways to adapt. And my recommendation was always to my clients, don't put all your hopes in something, in surgery or in some new development, because there are so many ways of adapting, just little tricks, nothing super scientific, little tricks of doing things by feel and talking clocks and thermometers and all that kind of thing to meet your daily needs. Because I dealt with so many people who would get all excited. There would be something on the TV, something in a paper, and they'd all get all excited. And in talking to various ophthalmologists, after news like that comes out, they are swamped with calls, people wanting this therapy for their condition. And most of the time, they went away disappointed. So my recommendation to the people who are calling and listening is adapt what you can, because there are situations where the doctors just can't do miracles.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wayne, for those comments. The work you were doing is incredibly important, because vision loss is a challenge for people. It's not uncommon, of course, to be hopeful that something may come in medicine, an advance may happen where vision could be restored. But you're right, there are many strategies to adapting to vision loss and many services that can be used to help people.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for that, Wayne. Appreciate your call. I want to give Ted in Minocqua a chance to join us. Hi, Ted. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Dr. Sarah. I've got a good news story. So I went on insulin in 1949, so I've been on insulin almost 70 years. In 1972, I had my first hemorrhage, and of course, advanced prolific diabetic retinopathy. And I went to an ophthalmologist who said, you're going to be totally blind. There's nothing we can do. And I went and got a second opinion, Dr. Fechtenhauer in Chicago. And I had 21 laser surgeries over a 20-year period. And I'm still driving, and my eyesight is still very good. I can't drive at night, but I'm 76 years old, and, you know, I see very well thanks to Dr. Fechtenhauer and laser surgery.
Oh.
Thank you for that amazing story. You were right at the forefront of laser correction for diabetic retinopathy. The argon laser can be used to treat the retina and stop the blood vessels, the new dangerous blood vessels that are prone to bleeding, from forming. It can cause a regression of these vessels. And it was very new technology that saved many people's vision from that difficult problem of diabetic retinopathy.
That is a wonderful story. And 21 laser surgeries. My goodness. Thank you, Ted, very much for that call. And Sheila in Madison, I want to give you a chance. Hi, thank you for joining us.
Oh, hello. Yes. Well, I have a question. I am getting, I'm scheduled for eye surgery within the next week. The right eye was done about 5 years ago, and it turned out fine, done by my ophthalmologist surgeon. And the left eye is scheduled within a few days. I am concerned because the last visit that I had, he brought up that I kind of surmised that the pupil is very small and it's not enlarging due to exfoliation. Would that be true? And there's some new procedure that holds back something, maybe the exfoliation, so that there's a larger area for him to get in there and do the work.
Yeah. So questions, what about those questions?
Great question. So this condition called pseudoexfoliation can result in a small pupil size. This can be very effectively managed during cataract surgery. I wouldn't fret about this. We have several options as cataract surgeons to enlarge the pupil. That's very safe. And you'll ultimately end up with a very nice result.
Ah, so some good news to end our conversation on. I'm every one of our lines is still filled, but we have to move on. Dr. Nels, would you come back and be with us again sometime?
I would love to.
It was great. Thank you so much for being with us. And tell you what, we'll get her back on and we will do this with her again and hopefully get your questions answered. Just in ending, for people who are, you know, all these different surgeries that we've been talking about today, is there a good website to go to? Is the UW Health website a good place or someplace else?
Absolutely. There is a lot of information on the UW Health website in the field of ophthalmology. Many questions can be answered on the website.
Very good.
Definitely a place to look.
And so, and you'll be back.
I'll be back.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think I've got an appointment with you coming up in the not too distant future, so we'll be seeing you sooner than later. Thank you, Sarah.
Sounds good.
Dr. Sarah Nels specializes in laser vision correction surgeries. It's hard for me to say that for some reason. She also specializes in diagnosing and treating disorders of the cornea, including cornea transplantation, associate professor in the University of Wisconsin Department of Ophthalmology. So she'll be back and we will talk with her again. But we are going to turn our eyes to the skies. We'll take a look at the night sky with Paul Kinzer, our astronomy expert, next here on the Ideas Network.